Now, what a wonderful time and place it is for us to be living in when we consider all of human history. We now live in a society that has seen advancement in so many different areas, such as technology, medicine, agriculture, manufacturing. We are easily and efficiently able to produce food, clean water, medicines, inexpensive clothing and building materials. So we have nothing to worry about, right? I mean, who could ask for anything more? But if truth be told, our culture is extremely anxious. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are the most common mental disorders in the U.S., and they affect at least 40 million adults in our country. That's 18.1% of our population. And these disorders include generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, which affects at least 15 million adults, specific phobias, and major depressive disorder, affecting over 16 million. But children are not immune to anxiety either. According to the ADAA, at least 25% of American children between the ages of 13 and 18 are affected by different anxiety disorders. So much for a carefree life. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us do find plenty to worry about. Now, some of these things are legitimate concerns, but not everything that we worry about. When our family moved here in October to Hillsborough, we left friends, family, and many of the things that we are familiar with to start new lives here in full-time ministry. And as a pastor, I realize that I'm subject to much scrutiny as I'm the over-shepherd and the main public figure of our local church body. And this is certainly an important task, one I should not take lightly, as Hebrews 13:7 says, church leaders are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account before God. And this concern for our church, especially considering as we are living in a relatively unfamiliar area to us, these things can easily lead me down a path of worry and anxiety. But I know that I'm not unique. I'm sure that many of you here have succumbed to seasons of worry for a number of different reasons. And we all know that worry is a sin. Yet how many times do we give in to our fears? Now, Jesus was aware of this problem, and he addresses this issue of anxiety in Matthew 6. And today we'll be looking at verses 25 through 34. Again, this is from his Sermon on the Mount. Verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is God's holy word. So what causes worry in our lives? In our passage, Jesus brings up two general areas of worry for us. He talks about how we worry over our lives, that is what we need in order to survive, and also our bodies, that is how we will protect ourselves physically. Now, Jesus first tells us here, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. So he is talking about the things that sustain us. Now, this could also include the means to purchase or otherwise acquire the things that we need in order to survive. Now, let me just say that it is very uncommon in our culture for a person to legitimately lack the means to acquire enough food to survive. Our homeless and unemployed are able to qualify for government funding so that they can make food purchases. They can find food pantries and soup kitchens for meals. Now, there weren't such programs in Jesus' day, and that's why the church was instructed to care for the poor. And nevertheless, there are many people in our day who worry about providing enough for their families. Can I find a steady job? What if the business goes under? I hear they're laying people off. What do you mean we're having another baby? I understand some of these concerns, especially as I look back to when we were a young couple and we wrestled with the choice of having mom stay home with the new baby or deciding to have her go back to work and sending her to the daycare. You know, we wondered what we were able to afford. Now, realistically, obesity is a more serious problem in our nation than actual hunger. We have plenty of food, but we just can't figure out how to eat in moderation. So for us, worrying about our food is generally more along the lines of us counting calories or counting points, finding the right diet, the right weight loss system. Many people struggle with self-control when it comes to their food intake. And it is good to take care of our bodies. Paul calls our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit. But many obsess about physical image. Those who are unsatisfied with how they look can go to the other extreme. This obsession with their body image can lead to eating disorders such as anorexia or bulimia. These terrible disorders can have long-term physical and mental damage on our bodies. So we would do well to have a healthy and a sound attitude toward food rather than obsess over it. Now, Jesus also tells us that we are not to worry about our bodies, what you will put on, he says. Now, he's specifically speaking here about clothing, but this can extend to protecting ourselves, so shelter or protection for our bodies. And just like with food, we here in our country don't typically have a problem finding adequate clothing to meet our basic needs. So we might think of this as a command to keep from worrying about how we are going to protect our bodies from outside forces. So our physical safety. And this has become a major area of worry for many people, especially right now in our country. I'll touch on a couple of threats to our physical safety that have caused many people in recent days to worry. That is physical attacks from other people and also attacks from a virus. First, we consider attacks from other people. Violence is nothing new in our world. We are surrounded by sinful people, and our own hearts are corrupted by sin. So how do we protect ourselves from others? And what extent are we willing to invest in our protection? And people can easily spend thousands of dollars on cameras and security systems with the intent of keeping their family and their property safe. But how much is too much? And when does concern turn into worry? Now, this also extends into the controversial topic of Second Amendment rights. We have the right to bear arms in our country, but what, if any, should be the limitations to this right? Now, these are important things for us to consider, as our safety can sometimes be a legitimate concern. Now, the Bible is clear that it is good to use our minds to plan on these things, to make wise decisions in the area of safety. But we can spend so much time and so much money focusing on our physical safety that sometimes we may neglect higher priorities, loving God, loving others. We can worry and obsess about our safety just as we can obsess over food. Also, we all know that the COVID-19 virus has become a major topic of concern for us in terms of our physical safety. Now, should we be concerned with our own health and the health of others? Of course we should. We should take care of our bodies, not be foolish in regards to our physical health. God has given us minds and medicine and medical professionals to help take better care of ourselves. But ultimately, we know that our lives are in God's hands. We can't cheat death. We can't avoid every danger in our world. If it's not the virus, it'll be something else for us. So there comes a point where we have to flee from worry and trust that God will provide. Are there things that we should be doing? Things that God wants us to be doing, but we're unwilling to do because we're gripped with a fear. I know many claim that they don't trust the media, but are we being more controlled by media than we are by the Holy Spirit within us? Now, we do want to be safe. This is understandable. And I know that there are things that we can control, but not everything. So this is where our faith must overcome our fears and our worries. Now, in our passage, Jesus doesn't simply say, you don't have to worry, just be carefree, have a que sera kind of attitude in your lives. But he gives us several reasons why we don't have to worry, why we don't need to be anxious. The first reason he gives us is this: our lives are more than just food and clothing. That is to say, life is more than simply our physical needs. Now, let me just say that Jesus wasn't promoting Gnosticism here. One of the beliefs in Gnosticism is that the body is evil, the spirit or soul is good. So these people had no concern about their bodies. They could do whatever they wanted to with their bodies, as it was only the soul that mattered. But God does actually care about our bodies. He's given us the means to physically care for ourselves and to help others. Now, what Jesus is saying here is that we should not limit life to this. In fact, our spiritual needs are of greater importance than our physical needs. And Jesus emphasized this all throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, this is possibly the most important reason why we must not be anxious over our physical selves. You remember Jesus told Nicodemus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So a spiritual birth is better than a mere physical birth. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important than mere humanitarianism. That is a social gospel. Now here's another reason why we are not to be anxious. Jesus tells us that God provides for his creation. He says, look to the lesser things of creation and realize that God even provides for such minor things as birds and flowers. He says, birds don't worry about their food, what they're going to eat. Now, sure, they go out and they search for their meals each day, but that's his point. They are working. They are doing what is necessary. They aren't sitting around in their nest fretting about the shortage of their grub worms or chatting with some of their friends about the downturn in the mulberry market. They know what they need. They use their energy to provide for themselves and for their families, and they're content with that. He also talks about flowers, how they are seen as beautiful just the way God made them. They don't spend time and money to to make themselves look good. And both of these things, birds and flowers, they only live for a short time. But what about us? We were made in God's image. We are the jewel of His creation. Don't you think that He will give us what we need if He provides for even birds and flowers? But our problem is that we often want more than this. We aren't content. So we need to trust that God will give us our daily bread, that He loves us, and He provides for His people. Now, the third reason why Jesus tells us not to worry is this. He says, worry cannot add to your lives. He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Literally, he asks, can you add a cubit to your stature by worrying? Now, this was a figure of speech, meaning, can you add a small amount of time to your life? Now, let me put it bluntly. None of us will live any longer by worrying. In fact, it may have the opposite effect. Stress causes major health issues. We can easily worry ourselves into a harmful amount of stress. Now, should we spend time planning, preparing for the future? Sure, we can do this. Wise preparation, however, needs to lead to positive action. We are not to be lazy or careless when it comes to planning for our future. What did Solomon say in Proverbs 6? He says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. If we are prepared, if we are working, we can face adversity more easily when it comes. But it is the ill-prepared person who is often finding himself overcome with worry when he faces a difficulty. Now, here is the fourth reason why we're told we should not be anxious about our physical needs. We are told that anxiety is the reaction of unbelievers. Jesus says that the Gentiles, or the pagans, seek after all these things, such as food and clothing, material possessions. Unbelievers have no hope in God's provision. So they have to trust in their own work, their own ingenuity, in order to provide for themselves. Also, non-Christians have no reason to store up treasures in heaven. So any treasure they have will be a treasure on earth. If anything threatens their material possessions, these people will worry about how they can protect their treasures. But as Christians, we must have faith in an all-powerful and loving God. We are more concerned about storing up treasures in heaven. We cannot focus so much of our attention on our material needs, just like the rest of the world does. Such concern for material things is deserving of Jesus' rebuke here for his disciples when he calls them, you of little faith. Now, the last reason why Jesus tells us that we are not to worry is this. He says, anxiety about the future causes us to neglect the present. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But how many times do we sit and worry about all the what-ifs, the things that could happen to us? Now, there have been many days that I've wasted too much energy worrying that something bad could happen, and yet it never actually happened to me. You might say I was borrowing trouble. But if we put more of our energy into actually working on what we need to do each day, we will find ourselves being prepared for tomorrow. Those who neglect their daily duties are more likely the same people who will find trouble tomorrow. We live in the present. We don't live in the future. We don't live in the past. So we are to do what is necessary right now. We are to be obedient to God today. Now, finally, in our passage, Jesus gives a positive command. He's already told us the negative, don't worry. But here he says, this is what disciples should be doing. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, Matthew consistently brings up the theme of God's kingdom. The Jews and even Jesus' disciples were concerned with the kingdom of Israel. They wanted Jesus to fix their earthly kingdom, to overthrow the Roman occupation. But that was not Jesus' purpose as the Messiah. He told the people that His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is in heaven. God's kingdom speaks of eternal life. And as God's children, we are to set our minds on the things eternal. Am I trusting God with my life? Am I sharing the gospel with others and praying that they would come to salvation? Are my children saved? If we are living for God's kingdom, we will find joy in knowing Him. And we will care about the souls of other people. So how is it that we may seek first God's kingdom? What are we to do? Well, the Bible gives us several examples of how we seek God's kingdom. Again, one way is that we focus on the eternal. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul says, we look not to the things that are seen, but to those that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul also tells us in Ephesians 4 that we must put off our old selves. And this, our old self is to be replaced with our new self. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. But put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In Matthew 10, Jesus tells us another way to seek God's kingdom is that we are to take up our cross and follow Him. In that same chapter, He says, we are not to fear man, as man can only harm our bodies. We are to fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Also in Romans 12:2, Paul tells us that we are not to be conformed to the ways of this world. He says we must have our minds transformed and renewed as we draw nearer to God, as we understand His ways. One more way that we seek God's kingdom is that we obey our Lord's commands. 1 John 2:3 says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commands. Now, if we are seeking God's kingdom first, Jesus tells us that all these other things will be added to us. That is, God will take care of those physical needs that Jesus tells us not to worry about. But this doesn't mean that the more we seek and serve God, the more He will give us. But this is to say that we will be satisfied with what God has provided for us. We will be content that our basic needs are met. We will not covet what we don't have. Now, do you see how Matthew 6 naturally flows from one section to the next? We trust God, so we pray to Him that He would provide for our physical and our spiritual needs. That's the point of the Lord's Prayer. We also see how true fasting shows that we desire God more than anything else. And since God is our master, we find our treasures in heaven, not anything here on earth. And here Jesus tells us we don't have to worry because God is providing for us. We are trusting in Him as we seek Him in all things. Friends, is our anxiety a sign that we are discontent with what God has given us? We have what we need, but we want more. We may think to ourselves, that family has so much more than us. They go on better vacations. I want what they have. We've all heard the saying, the grass is greener on the other side. But is it actually greener? At what point will we be satisfied? And at what point will we quit worrying about the things we don't have? I believe that we would find that our lives would be less stressful if we were satisfied with having fewer things, putting less on our schedules, if we downsized a bit, if we reprioritized our lives. I doubt the Amish are as anxious as we are, but we don't have to give up cars or electricity to get rid of worry. Some things that we are anxious about may be legitimate concerns for us. Could our lives be threatened by others? Possibly. Is this virus deadly? Yes, it can be. Should we be careless about our safety and the safety of others? Of course we shouldn't. But we also cannot let our lives be overcome by worry. As I said, we can't avoid every danger in this world. We don't know if we're going to see another tomorrow, and this has always been the case. So will we live in constant fear indefinitely? I hope not. We should have more concern for the spiritual realities in life, for the kingdom of God, not just the temporary stuff in this world. Eternal death should be a greater concern for us than physical death. If we only care about our physical safety, I'm afraid that we will deny our Lord if persecution comes to us. Will we bow the knee to Caesar in order to save our lives? Jesus tells us, seek first God's kingdom. We trust God in every trial, no matter what. If we are God's children, we have no reason to worry. Now listen to these closing words from Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is our assurance that God cares for us. He was willing to sacrifice his son. So let us live for him and for his kingdom, trusting in him always. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful that you do provide for your children. You have given us so much more than we deserve. Help us to remember this and to be full of joy because of this. God, we know there are many dangers in this world. We know that sin is rampant. But God, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. We are reminded of Peter when he was told to walk out to you on the water. And when he was afraid, he started to sink. God, help us not to be like that. We know that there's trouble around us, but help us to fix our eyes on you. That we would have confidence that you will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, but you love us. We are your people. So God, help us to pray to you, seeking your will in all things, praising you each and every day, and trusting that we have what we need. Well, we pray in your name. Amen.